MVP! 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 Aaron Gordon right now. Through the first quarter of the NBA Finals, Hickster, would be the MVP of the NBA Finals as the Denver Nuggets have a 27-20 lead. And right now, Aaron Gordon is 6 of 8 and has 12 points in the contest. How about that? I did not see this one, that Aaron Gordon was going to be dominating the first 12 minutes of the NBA Finals. Dominant.
And you know what they say? The winner of the first quarter MVP award of Game 1 of the Finals always wins the NBA Finals. So bettors, go to the book right now. Put all your earnings, put everything on Aaron Gordon, Finals MVP, while you can.
I know you're being a jackass there and marinating in sarcasm, but you actually have made me come up with something right on the fly.
Uh-oh.
We just saw in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference Finals, Nikola Jokic win the Western Conference Finals MVP. I don't think anyone is legitimately going to tell you he should not have got it, but you could have made a case for Jamal Murray easily. And in the Eastern Conference Finals, you will have people that will tell you that it should have been Caleb Martin, but it ended up going to Jimmy Butler. And that was very close. 9 votes that you have, and it was 5-4 in favor of Jimmy Butler. And ironically, Reggie Miller, who all he did was kind of campaign for Caleb Martin in Game 7, ended up voting. He was one of the 9 voters. He ended up voting for Jimmy Butler. I'm really wondering, when you look at these NBA Finals, if Jimmy Butler's Miami Heat team wins, is there any way Jimmy Butler doesn't get the Finals MVP? Can you make the case for someone else?
I mean, the only other person I would probably say would be Caleb Martin and have him go off even more.
I disagree.
Than he did in the Eastern Conference Finals. But if you're telling me the Heat right now win the Finals, I don't see anyone outside of Jimmy winning MVP.
Only one player on the Heat has a chance. Now, let me clarify this. I do agree. I'm at like 98% if Miami wins that Jimmy Butler's going to win the Finals MVP. But I'll give my other 2% not to Caleb Martin, who was great in the last round. It's Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo is the biggest key for the Miami Heat this series. And so far, Bam, in 10 minutes, he is 4-6 from the field and has 8 points, and he pulled in 2 rebounds. But Bam is going to be enormous in this series, where he may actually be the biggest key for Miami. Because you know Jimmy Butler's going to do what Jimmy Butler does. But Bam Adebayo, if you just look at the last few years with Miami, even Miami fans kind of have a love-hate relationship with him. Where now they'll tell you everything's great. But for a while, they didn't always love Bam Adebayo. And I was on a Miami radio show, WQAM, 560 WQAM, legendary radio station, and I love their afternoon guys, Hochman and Crowder, and you hear Alejandro Solana, part of the Heat Radio Network, and he's their producer, and he's been on this show a bunch during this run. And they had me on, they're like, how do you view Bam Adebayo? And I said, I don't view Bam Adebayo as a star. I view him as a really, really good player, where there's some ups and downs, and I think he's more so of a 3 on a championship team than a 2. And you just look in this last series, in the last few games where Miami was on the verge of blowing a 3-0 lead and being the first team in the history of the NBA to blow a 3-0 lead and Boston was going to win 4 in a row, Bam Adebayo was really a non-factor for them. And I think Denver is a better team than Boston. So if you want to slay this dragon that are the Denver Nuggets right now, with Joker and with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Bruce Brown coming off the bench and Jeff Green still being in this league, the elder statesman, I think he's like 36 or 37 years old. If you're going to beat this team, you need Bam Adebayo to be a number 2 piece on a championship team. You need him to be great. And I think there's too many inconsistencies with Bam Adebayo. Now, I'm not knocking the guy and telling you like he stinks. That would be just foolish. He's a really, 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 really good player. And at times, he shows you that he could be a great player. But Hickey, for me, I need him to be not a good player in this series, not a very good player in this series, but I need him to be a great player because I don't think the Miami Heat can win this series if Bam Adebayo is not a great player. And so far, as one thing to talk about the offense, in that first quarter, points in the paint, 20-16 in favor of Denver. Bam Adebayo's defense is also enormous in this series. That's why I think, even though it most likely will be Jimmy Butler, because usually all MVPs go to who's the best player on the team, not necessarily the most valuable, in all likelihood, it would be Jimmy Butler as the best and most valuable, but Bam Adebayo, I think, is the only player in the Heat that you can make that case could win the MVP in this series if Miami wins it. It's not Jimmy Butler.
I definitely think his biggest impact will be defensively, and if you are able to slow down Jokic and really kind of take control of the paint, not allow second-chance points for Denver, that's where this series can be won for Miami. The tough part, at least in terms of MVP, is I thought he actually played really well defensively against the Celtics. The issue for him was offensively. He was putrid for the most part. And that's where you look at the stats, you look at the numbers. A lot of people always do favor offense over defense. And I know Andre Iguodala with the Warriors won the MVP, so you can kind of get some wonky MVP winners.
But most of the time in the NBA, you're not going to win an MVP based off what you did on the defensive side of the
right.
court.
Right. I would agree, which is why I would choose Caleb Martin as like the, if it can't be Jimmy Butler, who else would you choose? You'll go Bam. I will go Caleb Martin just from the offensive, purely offensive perspective. Although I do think the defensive part about Bam is more important for the Heat to win this series.
Now, I will say this. Another person that you could make an argument for even before Caleb Martin, who was the best player for Miami in the last round, Tyler Hero. This could set up, like, let's just say Denver loses tonight, and let's say Rick Kamla's right, where Rick Kamla believes, who joined us earlier, that if the Heat win tonight, you won't see Tyler Hero to game three. But if the Heat lose tonight, he thinks there's a very good chance that you could see him in game two. It's so early right now. There's 10:54 remaining in the first half. Denver's up 29-21. Let's just play into that, that if you're going to take Jimmy out of the equation and you have Denver winning game one tonight, Tyler Hero comes back in game two and has an awesome game two. And we talked about how much of a run this has been for Miami, and they've had to overcome injuries, and you get Hero back with the fresh set of legs, and we'll see how the hand does hold up. I kind of look at Tyler Hero. If you want to tell me, my first answer would be Bam. If it's not Jimmy Butler, if I had to give you a third answer, it would then be Tyler Hero. How about that? Because the storylines could set up, even though it's really premature right now, for him to have a big impact on this series.
I'm very afraid of the layoff for Tyler Hero in the sense that it's going to be almost now 6 weeks since he's last played. He has a hand injury, which now, you know, you talk about impact, you know, impacting your form and your shot. You're trying to just not only get back in rhythm for the first time in almost 6 weeks, you're also now trying to work on a shot that you haven't really been able to work on a ton either because it was a hand injury, not like a foot injury.
Yeah, we've seen him warming up the last few games with the cast off.
So, for me, that's why I'm skeptical of his having a big impact. I just think there's too many factors working against him to have him come in right away and also then be great.
Now, for Denver, I think you could only make the case for two people. It's Nikola Jokic and then it's Jamal Murray. Most likely it will be Nikola Jokic because you just even kind of saw it in the last round with, even though that being a sweep, how great Jamal Murray was. Joker just never plays poorly enough. Where even though I've been saying it all throughout the year, the best player for the Denver Nuggets is Nikola Jokic, but to win a championship, their most valuable player is Jamal Murray. Joker doesn't play ever at a bad level. Like, even when he's not at his best, he's still better than most of the players in the league, like 98% of the players in the league, and he's still able to go out there and get a triple-double, and his ego, since it's really non-existent, if Jamal Murray's going off, he has no problem passing the ball off to Jamal Murray and seeing him score 23 points in a quarter. Jamal Murray can make a big push, but I still don't know if it will be enough for the physical award of the MVP, the finals MVP, to be handed out to really anyone other than Nikola Jokic.
The only thing is, if Miami says, we're not going to allow Jokic to score, we're going to stop his scoring, he averages 30 points in the playoffs,
name
we're going to shut him down.
Name a team that has done that since he's been in the league the last few years.
Oh, it's very tough. I get it. But if he's more, let's say, of a facilitator in this series than just a pure scorer, that's where I think the likelihood of someone else winning would ratchet up, where Jamal Murray, let's say, is averaging 28, 30 points per game in this series. Or, look, I know it's one quarter, it's like it crazy, but if Aaron Gordon is basically left on an island and he has a size advantage every single game and they're going to let him beat him.
He's not going to score 25 points every single night.
I would agree, but also at the same time, if that's what Miami's going to try to do, and like I said, you make Jokic a pass-first guy instead of a score-first guy, I would argue that's one where he's better anyways. I don't know if you want to do that if you're Miami, but if that's what they do, all of a sudden now you're going to get better looks and more opportunities for teammates, put up good numbers, and maybe steal the award just because if Jokic just has, let's say, 15 assists per game, but he's only like 19, 20 points a game. I just would wonder how the voters would look at that in terms of giving out the MVP trophy.
Yeah, kind of. If I'm Miami, and this is going to sound weird because Nikola Jokic is the best player in the sport, I would just, and I know Spoelstra right now is the best coach in the league, but if I was Miami, I'd be like, let Nikola Jokic go get his. Let him just go off and absolutely dominate, and we will out-effort the other four players on the court and just let Nikola Jokic beat you. And if that's the case, you could live with that. Because when you just look at the construction of the roster of Denver, Denver has a much better roster than Miami. I'm more intimidated by a lot more players on Denver's roster than I am Miami. So with that being said, it's so tough to stop the rest of the team, because the rest of the team, like Jamal Murray, is phenomenal. But I would kind of just let Nikola Jokic get his and then just see the team that is like the definition of grit and defense in Miami, if they could just lock in on everybody else and you let one guy dominate instead of Denver gets the pick. Oh, is it Nikola Jokic for half? And then is it Jamal Murray for half? And then Aaron Gordon and then Michael Porter Jr.? It's Denver's such a tough team to defend. And what makes them so tough to defend is their 1-2 punch is so phenomenal. And Jamal Murray is back to being that bubble form of Jamal Murray that a lot of us fell in love with. And then he was able to survive and get through the ACL injury. And now we're like at a point where when you have both those guys on, they could almost alternate on who takes over the game. And here's the best part about it, Hickey. Neither of them actually really care who leads the team to victory. Joker's fine with passing the ball off to Murray. Murray's fine watching the brilliance of Nikola Jokic. And not that this is a super team. I'm not saying that. But a huge part of the championship team is knowing when to let other people eat. And sometimes ego absolutely destroys a team, but there's not really ego on this team. Like, we talk about Jimmy Butler, how he's the alpha in Miami and he sets the tone. Nikola Jokic setting the tone and not really having an ego and not trying to be the star in the media or the star in all the endorsements. Or I forget who it was, but Scott Hastings joined us when I did the show out of Philly. And he was saying it was either when they got Aaron Gordon or Michael Porter Jr. to the team. And I'm sure you remember this story, that it went something along the lines of, like, Nikola Jokic changed his routine in practice or went to another side of the court because that player liked to do something on that side of the court and do that. And that's the guy that's his organization. And that's what makes Denver so great. Not only do they have an incredible construction of the roster, but they don't really care who gets theirs and when they get there, because they all know that eventually they're going to eat just with the way that this team is constructed.
And that's what makes this team so hard to defend. If you have Jokic as a pass-first guy, and it's, I think, almost impossible to win this series if you're Miami, if that's where he is. I think you can win this series if you're Miami if he's scoring 40 points a game and no one else is really kind of going off. But if you are sitting here now and he's dishing out assists and Aaron Gordon's got 20, he's got 12 already right now in the game, and Michael Porter Jr. already has 8 quick points, and Jamal Murray's doing his thing, and next thing you know, there's like 4 or 5 guys at any time on the court that could hit an open shot, your defense is screwed. Your defense is screwed, and for how good Miami's been, especially on the defensive side of the court this entire postseason, you can't slow them down. You cannot slow down this offense, which is why I'm with you. Like, make him be a scorer. First, you can weather that storm better than if he's a facilitator and is getting all his teammates open looks. Like I said, they're all selfless. They all just want to win. That's part of the reason why they've been so dominant this postseason, is because they just want to win and they don't care who does it. everyone, for the most part, has stepped up in a big way in you know, offensively, defensively. It's a true team effort, and that's why so far that they are cruising, at least early on.
Mike Norvell going to join us coming up at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, 6:40 p.m. Pacific. We will move up the closing bell, and we'll do that on the other side.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on The Zach Gelb Show.
Tyler Hero. He may need to be the hero for the Miami Heat. Things aren't looking all too well for Miami in this first half. Adrian Wojnarowski did report today. And remember, a day ago, Chris Haynes said that the Heat are targeting game three for a Tyler Hero return. Well, Woj gave you better news today. He says he's hearing that game two now returns, now looms as a possible return for one Tyler Hero. So it's looking like you're going to get Tyler Hero sooner rather than later in this series. That's good news for the Miami Heat. Give them a stock up. Monty Williams, the last 2 years, I know 3 years ago he got to the NBA Finals, but the last 2 years, no show up against Dallas in the final game of the season, no show up against the Denver Nuggets in the final game of the season. He got sent packing. I didn't love that move by the Phoenix Suns, because who are you going to bring in that's probably better? And I don't think the answer's out there right now with the remaining candidates that they're interviewing as they trim down their list. Well, Monty Williams clearly didn't want to go to Detroit. And then Detroit threw the bag at him. I don't care what Monty Williams says. This is such an overpay. 6 years, $78.5 million. And the contract could actually reach up to 8 years, $100 million. That is, please, Monty Williams, who is a good coach but isn't the savior, come to Detroit and be the savior. And I don't think that's going to fit. Now, he'll coach a bunch of young players. He'll develop players. He'll be fine. But is he going to be worth that money? I don't think so, but good for him for getting that money, so give him a stock up. Joe Mazzulla back with the Boston Celtics. Money probably played a factor into that, but once again, who are you going to bring in that was better? You going to bring back Doc Rivers? Yeah, no thanks. You didn't get Nick Nurse. I don't think you're bringing in Monty Williams as well, and he just went to the Detroit Pistons. I'm fine with Mazzulla coming back. They got to find a way to have Jaylen Brown, who was an All-NBA second-team player this year, take his game to that next level, because he had a chance to step up in the moment when you had the rolled ankle by Jason Tatum. He didn't do that. But Joe Mazzulla keeping his job with the Boston Celtics, give him a stock up. Tom Brady, even though he said he already said it, which is it is not true, he finally did admit it. He's telling people he's done playing football, and he's not actually going to return, and he's looking forward to this next chapter as a minority owner eventually with the Las Vegas Raiders, and then a year from now, joining the Fox broadcast team. About time, Tommy. Like, I love Tom Brady, but I didn't want to go through this entire year. Is he going to return? Is he going to stay retired? It was just too much, and you would need 24 owners to give the thumbs up to Brady coming back. That's not happening anyway. So we give a stock up to the GOAT for finally coming to the realization that he's retired and actually retired. I know this story is a few days old, but it's worth mentioning. So, Liam Hendricks was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I think December, going back to last year. And he made his return to a big league mound the other night. Just wanted to mention that. We continue to wish him nothing but the best of health. Give Liam Hendricks a stock up. So, Ted Lasso has come to a close. I know there's some speculation that the show is going to continue. And maybe they're going to focus on some of the other characters. I'm not telling you that season three was the greatest thing that I've ever watched, because it wasn't. But people saying that season three was absolutely horrible, I don't get it. I like the stuff with Zava, Sam's restaurant, the development and the relationship between Jamie and Roy. There were some things I didn't like, and it did drag on a little bit too much, but I thought the last two episodes were really, really, really good. So I don't understand all these Ted Lasso haters for whatever happened in season three. So give them a stock down. I'm going to continue on the TV shows. Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's a spoiler alert. Please turn off your radio if you are a fan of that show and you haven't watched the reunion yet. How anyone watches the first part of the reunion and still defends Teresa Giudice, I don't understand you at all. She is a nasty, nasty woman. And she's just a bad human being. And I give her zero the benefit of the doubt. So give Teresa Giudice a stock down to all of her crazy supporters. Did you see what Noah Syndergaard said, Hickey? Your guy, Noah Syndergaard, one of your favorite pitchers of all time, who now stinks. He's like pitching to like a 6.5 ERA. He said he would give away his hypothetical firstborn to be the old him. What happens when Noah Syndergaard has a kid?
Well, just like in most coach speaks, I don't live in hypotheticals. He can tell his kid. We don't do that. So you're here. I love you, son. I was just kidding.
That's going to be tough in like 10 to 15 years from now. I'll give that range out there. Or maybe Noah Syndergaard will be like Al Pacino.
Oh.
And I'll just be pumping out kids left and right until
give him a stock up.
He's like 83. Nah, that's a stock down. We already gave him a stock down last night. you already missed the boat where
wow.
you were going around enjoying that Met Philly game that you were at last night. So, I don't know. Maybe Syndergaard's going to wait till he's 80-something to have a kid. But whenever that kid is born and he goes to Google and he sees this article and this quote that he would give away his hypothetical firstborn, it's going to be a bad job and a bad quote for Noah Syndergaard to explain. So give a stock down to Noah Syndergaard. And finally, I did see that Eric Lewis, who's the referee that's getting put under investigation right now by the league for what may or may not be his burner account, he is not going to be refereeing the NBA Finals as he continues to be under investigation. And if this is true, that after what happened with Brian Colangelo and his wife, which, by the way, Brian Colangelo's wife did actually follow me on one of her four burner accounts, which I don't know why. Like, I was a media member in Philadelphia, but it's not as if at the time, other than calling her husband Lion Brian for a little bit, that I was really destroying Brian Colangelo, why she would be following me. Like, I was a nobody then in Philadelphia. But the fact that he saw the way that the Colangelo situation did play on out, and he may have a burner account out there. Like, we don't have it verified that Eric Lewis, that this is his burner account, but if him or his wife were dumb enough to actually create one, that's just so stupid, Hickey, after seeing what did transpire with Brian Colangelo in Philly.
What do you have to gain? You're an egghead?
You're insecure?
Well, like, oh, Eric Lewis sucks. No, I don't. Wow, boom, roasted. You got him there. Good job.
So if you're Eric Lewis, you're just insecure. If you're his wife, you're just trying to support your husband and go to battle for your husband, but it's dumb in this circumstance. So give a stock down to Eric Lewis. As he's not going to be refereeing the NBA Finals because he's under investigation.
Experiences are what people love most about travel. With Viator, you can browse and book tours and activities so incredible you'll want to tell your friends. They offer everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Viator has experiences in over 190 countries. There's something for everyone. Plus, Viator's travel experiences have millions of real traveler reviews, so you have the information you need to book the best activities for your trip. Viator lets you keep things flexible. Use Reserve Now and Pay Later to secure the activities you don't want to miss without being locked in. Whether you want to take a backstage tour of the Grand Ole Opry, a Miami Bimini Bahamas day trip by ferry, or a private guided tour of the Grand Canyon, Viator is for you. Download the Viator app now and use Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.